Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5, the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Well, first off, great job on the reporting yesterday of the Ryan Tannehill situation, of him likely being done for the season. What does that news mean for this team right now in their pursuit for a third consecutive division title and to get back to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, they were in massive trouble with him, and I know there's a segment of the population out there that's excited about Willis. I'm not sure why, because I think it was only 7 weeks ago that we saw him. And I know they almost won in Kansas City, but it wasn't because of Willis. So we saw him at Houston and at Kansas City, and he's far from a finished product. He's severely limited, and this team's going to roll out an offensive line that likely includes Jordan Roos, Corey Levin, and maybe Daniel Munyer. The recipe for beating Houston that first game with Willis at quarterback was obviously heavy doses of Derrick Henry, which is the way to beat the Texans, has been the way to beat the Texans for the Titans, who, by the way, lost to the Texans at home last year. But Derrick Henry running behind this patchwork line, which isn't good, by the way, when the starters are in place, is no recipe you can count on. And this is going to be a very interesting game to see just what the Titans can get out of the worst line that they're going to field since the Ken Whisenhunt days.
All right. I'm gonna ask you for some math here, PK. Okay. Two things. Percentage chances. Okay. Two things. And these are totally unrelated, but while I'm thinking about them, I got to throw these at you. One, percentage chance that Ryan Tannehill has taken his last snap for the Tennessee Titans. And two, unrelated, but just bear with me, that John Stryker is the Titans' next GM. Go.
Zero that stretches the Titans' next GM.
Zero. Not even, you're not going to give it a 1%?
Zero.
Okay. Jared?
Not have the scouting experience to be qualified. I think he'll, he's going to continue to climb the ladder, and I think he'll get more power and be I don't know if it'll be more visible, but he'll have more power and be a more important guy in the organization than he's been, and he's been a very important guy in the organization. But he scouted very little. John Robinson sent him out on a couple scouting trips, and you can't have a GM who hadn't scouted. And I love the guy. I think he's excellent. What was the other one?
Percentage chance at Ryan Tannehill, and I really hope Jared was listening to that, by the way. Percentage chance that Ryan Tannehill has taken his last snap for the Titans.
22.5%.
Mm.
No, 18.5%. I mean, I just don't know where they're going to go next year. I think even if they're doing a massive rebuild, Malik Willis has not shown enough, and I don't think you can turn the reins over to him. It's just not good enough. And I think they're going to wind up extending Ryan Tannehill for a couple more years, and that he would be their bridge guy too, if it makes any sense. They're not going to find a quarterback. They can get his number down. There's a lot of other places to save money. The thing is, if they cut him, and he's got to be healthy to get cut, but I would think this thing would settle down by March. They save 17.6, I think, and they eat $18.8 million. Then if you're going to get another quarterback, another veteran quarterback who costs money, you're stacking his salary on top of that 18.8. So the only way it makes sense to cut him is if you're paying that 18.8 in dead money and then going with a first contract quarterback who's cheap. And I don't think Willis is going to be ready to be that unless you're drafting somebody that you're willing to turn things over to. We don't know who the new GM is and what his stance is on that, but obviously it would align with Vrabel. And even if Vrabel's on board with a pretty big rebuild, I can't see him turning it over to Willis.
Paul Kaharsky with us here.
How about you, Joe?
Go ahead, Joe. I said 30. I 70-30 that he's back next year.
Paul Kaharsky with us from paulkaharsky.com. So, PK, I mean, look, there's a lot of things that have gone into this, as you're well aware, from the firing of John Robbins to the injuries, everything that's happened. But they were 7-3 at one point. If they don't make the playoffs, where does this kind of rank for you in the history of this franchise in terms of meltdowns to end the season?
Well, it's a massive meltdown, and I think probably the biggest since I've been covering the team. But also, I'd say at full health, when we were talking, after Denver, after Green Bay, I was saying, I don't feel good about them against Cincinnati, against Philadelphia, against the Chargers, against the Cowboys. I would have had no difficulty seeing them losing those four games. So, Jags a little bit of a surprise, but they're up and coming. The injuries getting to the degree that they've gotten, definitely a surprise. If they don't win the division, it's a huge surprise. But this team at 7-3 hadn't really beaten anybody. Now, it's not their fault the schedule was the way it was, but it's not close to as good as last year's team. We've hashed out a million times the reasons why. The general manager lost his job over the reasons why. And, I think for all of the times that they've overcome all of the injuries the bad offensive mentality, if you will, they they're kind of getting payback for it, if you will.
All right, I got another percentage chance question for you.
Great.
Percentage chance that Willis struggles to the extent in the next two games that Joshua Dobbs could potentially start the finale of Jacksonville?
That's a tricky one because I have no idea what Joshua Dobbs will do in practice, and I'm way down on Willis, and Willis could get hurt behind this line.
Okay, we'll take the injury out of it. Let's just say if it's performance related.
Well, the injury thing was giving me an out to go up. I'm going to go 28.3%.
Okay. That's not insignificant.
It's not insignificant. What do you make of?
But I am super down on Willis.
Yeah, we can tell.
He can't throw over the middle. The intentional grounding the other day was bad.
So let's take it there. So what's at stake for him, do you think, over these next three games? Because there will be a new general manager coming in, and I realize he's a third-round pick, and it's not like they drafted him in the first round, but what do you think could be at stake for him in terms of his NFL future over these next three games?
If he were to play phenomenally well in these three games, it could give them the option of going with him as the quarterback in a rebuild next year. But I just don't think that's a conceivable scenario. If he plays like he's played this season, I think that option comes off the table entirely, or it should, or they're going into 2023 as a team that has very little expectations of winning on a regular basis, and Mike Vrabel is going to be going to the lab on a weekly basis trying to figure out how to win, and if his coordinator is Todd Downing, that's going to be very difficult.
So it sounds to me, Paul, you don't even think that Willis could become a good quarterback. You don't give him a mulligan for this year coming out of the offense he came out of?
Well, I wouldn't call it a mulligan, but yeah, it takes time for these guys, but he's nowhere close now. So, I mean, it doesn't, when they get to this crossroad in March and have to decide what they're doing, they can't decide anything. I don't think they could decide anything projecting Willis. It's too dangerous. That doesn't mean that he can't eventually turn into something, I suppose, but you can't bank on him, can you?
No, you can't bank on him. I'm keeping an open mind. Percentage chance that Todd Downing is the OC next season?
55.5.
Oh, more than 50, really? Okay.
I like it. Joe is wearing you out with these percentage chance.
I think it's pretty funny. What was yours on that?
I'm going to go 40-60. 40-60? Like 40% that he's the OC.
Side.
Huh? You know,
when you give the percent, that people can presume the other side.
Yeah, okay.
There is that.
Thank you, Paul. Hey, do you like my impersonation of you, Paul, when I talk like this?
I don't sound like that.
Yeah, but I mean, we're
Why did you turn it nasty? We were having a fun time.
We were having a great time.
They wanted me to throw it by you.
Oh, man. Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Usually joins us every Wednesday morning.
Good day. Good day yesterday, good morning, and now I've been mocked for
Joe,
no reason.
Joe's just a bully over here on the mic.
It's the Stilly and Paulie.
Oh, yeah.
With that accent. Oh, my God.
Man.
By the way, Stilly has, rare that I speak of him or speak his name. But you notice how, a lot of people are pushing for this show with the two of us together. You notice how there's no wind for it on his side. And you know why that is.
Oh, I mean, my God, would you take him apart like a stewed chicken? I'm here for it all day.
Yeah. I mean, if it ever came to life, which it's not going to, it would last exactly one episode.
Save that audio, which it never will. Oh, we're saving that one, Paul.
Well, PK, Merry Christmas to you and the family. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Merry Christmas to everybody, and I appreciate you guys very much. I enjoy this weekly. And for everybody that's asked about my dog,
yes,
recently had his arm amputated. There's video on Twitter. He's been released from confinement, and he's walking around pretty well and wagging his tail. So apparently things are going well for him.
There we go.
That's
awesome news.
That is
great news, PK. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We'll react to what PK had to say there. Got Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, coming up at 8:30. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. Robert on YouTube says, haven't gotten to listen to you guys all week. Radio went down, so now I'm having to use data on my phone. Not cool, but kind of worth it. Merry Christmas to you guys and everybody at the station. That's how I would describe our show. Kind of worth it.
Yeah, thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
Sorry for your trouble.
Sorry for your data.
Or as Paul would say, sorry for your trouble, Robert.
So we're gonna
bad.
Hang on like
so bad.
We need a banner behind us that just says Robbie and Rex Road. Kind of worth it.
Yeah, I like
cool
that.
With it.
I like that.
Be awesome.
I could make that into a promo.
Let's do it.
That could be a banner you could hang in Bridgestone.
Robbie and Rex Road.
Jeez,
they're kind of worth it.
They're kind of worth it.
What would the slogan of Stilly and Paulie be?
I don't know.
Stilly and Paulie. One episode.
Actual murder on radio.
Look, if I actually pulled that off, because let's just be honest, getting them both to agree to it would be the battle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, Jared be he'd terrified.
The amount of
he'd
phone calls terrified. I would get that would make me just, pull my hair out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be the best show ever. Jared's terrified. By the way, in all seriousness, I think what Paul laid out there on Stretch is that's the actual – see, that's the, what a great argument that would be with those two, right?
Yeah.
But I think Paul's exactly right. I think Stretch, John Stryker, is going to have an elevation. He's going to have an important role.
Agreed.
So maybe, I guess you could say, but I just, this what's it called? Excellent Titan? Super Titan?
Genuine Titan.
Yeah, okay. Like, the idea that that was like, we got to do this so the people will be excited about Stretch. Like, come on. They just did it because they like Stretch. But I think that he'll have some role, but the idea that he's going to be the GM is pretty silly.
What did you think?
It's pretty silly.
Honestly, I hear Jared describe that, and the first thing that came to mind was the Bud Light Real Men of Genius commercial.
A blast from the past. What did you make of what PK had to say about his percentage chance, which, man, you were all over the percentage chances last segment.
And he's giving us decimals.
Well, he was. What did you think of his percentage chance of over 50% that Todd Downing is the offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans next year?
Well, I mean, I guess we're not that far off. I'm 40, so I think that there's a good chance, but I'm less than 50.
40 is less
than
50.
Where do you on? Thank you. Yes, and I will tell you if it's 40, I'm going to tell you it's 40-60. Okay, that's how I roll. What's your percentage chance?
Look, I'm at about 35.
Okay,
I would say
35-65.
Yes, thank you. Here's kind of my thought on it. I would say that it makes a lot of sense for him to not be the offensive coordinator next year. The one reservation I have, and honestly, Vrabel's word salad answer he gave on Caroline's question the other day about play calling kind of made me wonder about this too, of how exactly does Vrabel view the play calling right now? I don't know that he thinks it's that big of a problem for the Titans. I think he kind of used the roster as the problem, which I understand. I think it can be both. Now, again, he did view the play calling as a problem, he's not going to sit up there in a press conference and be like, yeah, my offensive coordinator's terrible. So I recognize all that, but that is the one reservation I have, is maybe Vrabel doesn't view the play calling as anywhere near of a problem as everybody else does. Like, to me, the results kind of speak for themselves with Todd Downing, and I know there's more to it than just the results, but the results are also important.
I think Vrabel absolutely views the personnel as the bigger issue than the play calling. And by the way, I agree. Yep. Wholeheartedly agree. But, yeah, to me it's – because, yeah, the people who are looking at this and it's like want to focus it all on Todd Downing, to me, it blow me away. And I'm blown away by that. And the thing is, it's like, okay, and then – if you're going to talk about all the mistakes John Robinson has made, don't you think there's a correlation between those two things? But that said, yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be a really interesting test of Vrabel in terms of you don't think it's that big of a problem. You can go through this. You have way more information than anybody else has. But the question for you is still, is he your best option?
Right. Well, and the bottom line is, no matter how you want to frame it, and there are excuses that you can have, in every year that Todd Downing has been an offensive coordinator, going back to the Raiders, the bottom line is the results are what they are. And at some point, the excuses are just that, excuses at some point.
Yeah, look, this happened this year and this happened that year and injuries. And I mean, the 2 years he's had here, then the two most injured Titans teams in the history of the franchise and two of the most injured teams in the history of the NFL.
Right.
But I'm with you. I mean, there are results overall, and also there's just things that we can all point to that we question. And you compare him to the predecessor.
Correct.
And he suffers by comparison. The predecessor also had a way better personnel situation, but there's a difference. That's why I'm 40. I mean, 40 is still a big number of him returning, but I just think Kelly's presence here has me less than 50 that he's coming back.
Right, and I don't even know if that would be
– I don't know that that's the
way
move.
That they would go or that I would go, but I certainly think it's a possibility that they could go that way. And look, I mean, the bottom line is, like, the evaluation on Todd Downing, I don't know how much is really left on the table for that. Like, he kind of is what he's been, and the roster, especially right now with this injury report and who's about to be starting at quarterback – like, I don't see any way that Todd Downing's situation really improves for the rest of this season.
I'll say this. This is a chance to me. Lots of Titans fans are out on him. Wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter what happens, okay? But in my opinion, this is a great opportunity for Todd Downing. This is a great opportunity to adjust the personnel and really shift things now that you know, like, your offense is not going to be the same. You're not going to have your quarterback. So change your offense and do it effectively. And if he does that, and they figure some things out with this, I think he's going to deserve some credit. Some people will not want to give it to him.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see, starting Saturday, what the game plan is, what the personnel is, and how they have the ability to execute it or not offensively, because it's looking rough right now for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball. Coming up next, we'll get into the Nashville Predators. Big win last night for the Preds, 4-2 against Chicago. They've won two in a row, and Roman Josi sets the all-time points record for the franchise as well. So a big one last night in Chicago. We'll talk to Preds assistant coach Todd Richards about that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Preds win last night 4-2 against the Chicago Blackhawks. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators assistant coach Todd Richards. So looking forward to that conversation with him. But a big night last night, Joe. They've won two games in a row. Roman Josi, with a goal and two assists last night, sets the all-time points record for the Nashville Predators, surpassing David Legwand. So David Legwand, if you go through the Predators history books, owns a lot of records. I mean, games played, he's the all-time leader. Points, goals, all those different things. Empty net goals, for sure. He's got to be up there near the top. But those have started to kind of be chipped away at the last few years. I think Forsberg took down the goal record. Now Josi has taken down the overall points record, and I would imagine a few more of those will start to be chipped away at. But a cool night last night with Josi, and I heard him on the show yesterday with you guys kind of talking about what that meant to him and what that would mean to him when he did it. And little did we know, last night he just took care of it, 3 points, and now Roman Josi, the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Predators franchise. Pretty cool.
My best thing in sports, by the way, for the record.
He was.
Yeah, it's a fitting guy to have that. And it's going to be interesting, you know, like the long-term question of, like, who will ultimately hold that? Because it's one of those two guys, right, long-term? After, like, 5 years from now?
Yeah.
Who will it be?
It's a great question. I would think it would have to be one of those two guys, but we'll see what happens on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Todd Richards. Todd, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you guys again.
Good to have you with us. And Todd, we were just talking about Josi setting the points record last night for the franchise. As someone who's around him every day, just what was it like to see him do that last night, and what does that record mean to your group?
Wow, it's first off, what a great accomplishment. It says a lot about the player. It says a lot about the person, just to have that longevity in one place and the ability to do that. Obviously, as a person, you have this person around because of the qualities and values that he has in your team and in your organization. So it speaks volumes to both a person and as a player. And then being close to it, it was just a great experience. You know, I didn't realize it until after the game, and I don't know how many of his teammates knew that either. So it was a really nice surprise when John Hines came in after the game and David Poyle came in after the game and kind of made the announcement. I think it made it that much better for the rest of his teammates to really share in that accomplishment. And he's very humble. He credited the players that he played with and gave them credit, and the players that are there. He had lots of help along the way. He made sure to say that, and again, that just shows you the type of person that that Roman is. But we're all extremely happy for him.
And of course, Todd, you guys had a really good thing going with Josi and McDonough together. Now, you know, reunited. What does that mean for this team moving forward, given what they seem to have found together?
Well, it's good for both of them being together again. Gross did a real nice job when he was up. He actually played very well. But obviously adding someone like McDonough, back into our lineup, that makes the pair better. But I think more importantly, it's what, you put a guy like McDonough back into your lineup, what it does for your whole team. It gives your whole team more confidence. He makes us better in every area of the game, especially on the defensive side of it. And, you know, he just plays inspirational hockey. And that says a lot, too. You know, when you're sitting on the bench and you're watching a guy kind of sell out and, you know, take a slap shot, you know, in the leg or in the chest or wherever, those are the things that as a coach helps build your team, those sacrifices that are made. And he's a guy that that does that over and over again.
Todd Richards, Preds assistant coach, with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Todd, I know you guys have been talking a lot lately about offense and how to generate more of it. Two games in a row where you guys have been rewarded on the scoreboard with four goals. What do you like the most about the offensive attack, the way things have looked the last few games out there?
I would say maybe it was about a week ago where Heinze has had some great meetings in the last week. And, you know, he has good meetings throughout the year, but I think these ones really resonated with the players. And it was about offense, but it was more about the speed of the game and how we play. And, you know, you go back through and you watch the game, which is something I do. And it is the offensive side, but if you go through the process of creating offense, there's lots of things that have to add up to create that chance or hopefully score a goal. And I'm just talking about 5-on-5 hockey right now, but the speed of the game, we just weren't playing fast enough as a group. And Heinze did a real nice job kind of connecting the dots. I think that really resonated with the players. And for us right now, I think our whole game is faster. So what helps us create the offense is when you do have the puck, just playing with speed, being the ability to get up and out, how are we going to create more space for players? How are you going to try to generate some opportunities off the rush, which is what we've done. But I think the other aspect of it is, which helps you create offense, is how fast you play when you don't have the puck. And I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but it's how fast you can get to somebody, how fast you can check and take away time and space and create those turnovers. And a lot of times on those turnovers, you're able to generate offense from that. So when you go back through and watch the game, you know, our breakouts have been better, how we come out of our own end, that's with the puck. But you watch, you know, a guy like Connor McDavid, who we played Edmonton the other night, and Leon Draisaitl, they're two of the top players in the NHL, and they both play a very fast game. But we were able to take that speed or the speed that they play with out. You know, a week ago when they scored six goals, we kind of struggled with that. And they obviously were major factors in the game. And I think the other night when we played them, we were able to kind of nullify their speed by how we checked. We got into them a little bit early. Our angles were good. Our defensemen were up. Our forwards reloaded. So I think it was the speed at which we played when we didn't have the puck, which helped us in the end create and play in the offensive zone, which led to more offensive opportunities.
Yeah, and John Hines talked about this after the win over Edmonton. Todd, really, like you said, skating without the puck, trying to get that speed going a little bit through the neutral zone better and things like that. But it also seems like you guys have been able to play more offense, you know, have more of a forecheck. What's the key there?
Well, puck possession. We're, you know, up front, we're one of the biggest teams in the league. And when we use our size, And then combine that with our skating and our mobility in the offensive zone, we're able to maintain possession in the offensive zone. And it doesn't always translate to opportunities or goals, but I think what it does throughout the game, you talk about investing in little things in the game. We have the ability with our size, with our forwards, is what I'm talking about, to be hard on defensemen and force them, and even forwards, because forwards got to play in that zone as well, down low against our forwards. Is, you know, you can slowly wear them down. It's no different than a run game in football. You know, you hand the ball off and you keep the defense out there. You're investing maybe for the fourth quarter and you know, wearing guys down, and then you bust open a big play or those types of things. So we have that ability. And I think when we can get in there and we don't want to spend too much time passing around the perimeter. We want to still be an attacking team and play on the inside, play in the middle of the ice. But I think, when we have that combination of using our size and skating again, moving our feet out of the corner, and you talk about the speed coming out and how we checked or earlier what we talked about, it's no different once you get the puck in the offensive zone. We have to move our feet. And I think at times we were getting pucks on our stick and we weren't skating. Our first thought was to pass the puck, and when you get stuck in this league of standing, plays end very quickly. But when you have the ability to pucks on your stick and start moving your feet, you know, number one, you become dangerous, you become harder to defend, but you start to find those other plays, those seams and those passing lanes become more available.
Todd, last thing for you here. John Hines had some interesting thoughts the other night about just the emergence of Cody Glass and the role that he's now playing for you guys. What have you thought of just his year, you know, maybe not responding well to the responsibility in the early part of the year of being elevated in the lineup, but now circling back around what he's meant to your group over the course of the past week or so in this elevated role?
Well, he's been very, very good, and it seems like whoever he's played with, that those players have been very, very good. You know, you talk about Roman Josi and his accomplishment. You know, one thing Roman's been, you know, it's a credit to players is, you know, you make other players around you better. And I think Glass has done that over this past two, three weeks, somewhere in there, where he's been, you know, one of our top forwards, if not the best forward in the games. And you go back through and you do scoring chances, all the things that we kind of track as coaches. You know, he's been up there at the top of those categories. And, you know, you're looking to try to create. So now he's getting more ice time. I think as a young player coming in, you know, sometimes you feel, you know, the pressures, probably internal, external pressures of having to perform. And sometimes when you get put all these pressures on yourself, sometimes you lock yourself up a little bit. And I'm not saying this is what happened to him. I don't know. But he seems more relaxed now. He seems more confident now. And, you know, when you're able to just kind of go out and play the game and not worry about other things, it's funny how your game just kind of falls into place. So he's done a really, really nice job for us in giving us some more options up the middle of the ice. And, you know, we've said as coaches, a lot of times you go up to players and you say, hey, good job. You know, they thank you for the ice time. And it's like, listen, I didn't give you the ice time. You've earned it. You know, you're showing us or me or Heinze or whoever's putting the guys over the board that you know, you want that ice time. And he's certainly earning it right now. He's going out and he's showing and he's generating. He's good on the defensive side of the puck. So, from the start of the year to where we are right now, you know, he's come a long ways and hopefully, and we believe, you know, he'll keep trending in the right direction, just become a better and better player for us.
Well, Todd, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck tomorrow against Colorado. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you guys, and Merry Christmas to all the listeners out there.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Todd Richards, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. We'll have more to say on them coming up next. Got a lot more to get into from the game last night. Also, some of your thoughts on Todd Downing on the text line as well. We'll get to all
you
of that
don't say.
Coming up. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. If you're still looking for some Christmas gifts, first off, congratulations. You're a late shopper just like me. Secondly, check out Nashville's Best Deals and get half-off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. You can check out the game nashville.com/deals while supplies last. 615-737-1025. Chase, are you an early Christmas shopper, a late Christmas shopper? You done yet? What's going on with that?
I'm pretty much done, you know.
Good
but,
for you.
But, I mean, I got a few more things I need to grab. I used to be like my dad and I would go Christmas Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's kind of how we used to roll.
For some reason, like, for my entire adult life, until this year, I did a pretty good job this year. But my entire adult life was like, for whatever reason, December 19th was the day for me. I was like, oh, it's the 19th. That means tomorrow's the 20th. That means Christmas is 5 days away. Probably need to get after it.
I'll say this. Wow. Amazon has changed the game. Because
for sure.
The fact that I can sit at my desk in my basketball shorts and a hoodie and do my shopping and not have to deal with people because I can't stand dealing with people. This time of year. They become crazier. And I mean, I say crazier because a lot of people are crazy. But
there's that.
I mean, there was one time I was just like looking at something and I got run over for no reason. There was nobody
around.
Was it
a Cabbage Patch Kid?
Maybe. It could have been. I don't know. I think it was something in electronics, but it's got ran over.
Yeah, that's true. It is a good thing to have that. But I also feel like it's like cheating a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But whatever.
It works. Whatever
yeah,
works.
Yeah, and I've also, like, I mean, really, you know, I have my friends, but my mom is pretty much all I have.
Of course.
To buy presents for, and I'm just kind of like, just make me a list. Like, I'll throw one surprise or two in there, but just tell me what you want.
Yeah.
I mean, the best gift that people give me is like there are some people that I know that get like upset when they get handed gift cards. They're like, oh,
cool. No, give me gift cards.
Hand them to me all day long, baby. Don't
cash
care.
Cash money, gift
cash,
cards, I'm fine.
Gift cards, cool with it.
I agree. I lose them, though. That's my only problem. But yeah.
But see, here's the fun part, because I will lose them too, but I always find them.
Yeah.
Like 2 years later, I'm like, oh, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, it is cool unless you live with teenagers who will just take them and use them for themselves. I'm just saying if that was hypothetically.
Thing. Yeah,
if that were to happen to someone.
Could happen out there.
Look what you've done.
Well, it's a good thing they don't take anything else, so it's good to know.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Were some in your backpack?
Any chargers in there?
Oh, God. Let's not even get into that.
Sorry. Sore subject. I know.
It's okay.
Matt from Camden on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, going back to the Titans, you got to make a change on offense after this season, whether it's the OC, the quarterback, or just tearing the whole thing down and rebuilding. But there has to be some sort of change to the offense. I think there's less than a 30% chance that Downing is back next season. So Matt from Camden going less than 30% chance. I was the lowest one at 35. Chase, what's your percentage? You did not offer a percentage.
The Todd Downing's back.
Correct.
Ooh, I'm going to say 30%.
There we go. Going with Matt.
I just the thing that makes me wonder if he's actually going to do it is because Amy fired John midseason. If that sent a message, you know, that, hey, we're not going to tolerate mediocrity. And, I mean, this offense is less than mediocre.
Well, it could be a direct message, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could.
It could be a direct message from Amy Adams Strong to Mike Vrabel. I want you to.
Look,
new
of the DM variety or just a spoken word?
hey, she could be in the DMs. You don't know.
Could be.
But I'm not the – I've never been the type of host that's going to yell and scream, fire everybody.
Sure.
That starts at two. But, you know, I'm not that type. But I do think even with the injuries and the bad drafting, the fact the offensive line is like, you know, the three of us out there, the offense is not good. And they need to get somebody that is more of an offensive mind. And this is where I will push back on Mike Vrabel. He's loyal to a fault, and this is the fault. And I look at Aukerman too. I mean, I think special teams and the offense certainly need a look. And, you know, I've seen crazy things happen too. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but I mean, he may need a defensive coordinator because he could get a look at a coaching job somewhere.
Yeah. No, I think at some point that'll be the case. See, the loyal to a fault thing with Vrabel, I hear that a lot, but I'm trying to think, how many opportunities has he really had to demonstrate that so far?
Well,
I understand the thinking because he seems to bring in people that he's had experiences with, right?
What's that? And then, you know, he stuck with Shane Bowen after a year where their defense was just awful. Now, it ended up being the right move.
But that wasn't to a fault, right?
Right. I'm just saying, like, he tends to stick with people. Maybe when others would.
He tends to not fire people even though we say he should on the radio.
Correct.
What's wrong with you, Coach Vrabel? Sorry.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
I'll even use Shane Bowen as an example. He hired Shane Bowen, who none of us knew who he was. He was his buddy. You know, he was unproven. And that first year was awful.
Well, no, he'd been here.
I know he'd been here, but we didn't know much about him. Like, he was.
So you're
one
saying
of,
he elevated him?
Yeah, he elevated right. him. I mean, he's elevated Downing. And we knew background on Downing. We knew the 1 year in Oakland wasn't very good.
Yep.
Yep.
And he elevated Arthur Smith, and people questioned that. That turned out
yeah,
to be smart.
Right. So sometimes he's been right. Bowen and Smith, I would say, are right. Sometimes he's been wrong. And
I'm just saying, like, there just hasn't been that much of a track record for us to know.
Was Aukerman an elevation? Know? Wasn't Aukerman an assistant, and then he fired? Or am I making that up? For some reason, I didn't think he was the first special teams coordinator that Vrabel had.
This is a good question.
I need to go back and look.
Yeah, I need to look. Well, I can't remember.
Now that you brought that up, I'm going
to. I mean, it's been 5 years. Yeah. By the way, I found a picture of Vrabel his first year compared to now. It's The job ages you.
No. Yeah.
The yeah. job ages you.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just a kid compared to me.
I mean, look at me. 1 year as PD. You know, beard's basically gray now.
Still got great hair.
See, if you can get Stilly and Polly together, you'll
then you can really just
embrace the baldness. You'll have a wavy head of hair. And like,
I'll look like Robbie and
Mr.
Willie.
Mr. Olympia.
D-Mace. Be done.
Three good-looking guys right there. Jeff, 1F Jeff on the text line says, let's get Buda Baker to pair with Kevin Byard and put Hooker in the slot. Draft another corner, and we got a freaking stout defense. 1F Jeff for GM. Oh, and get a quarterback, too. This is from 1F Jeff on the text line. Which, by the way, I've never heard anybody spell Jeff with 1F, but congratulations.
Sounds like no F's, Jeff.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because it's really interesting because a former college walk-on I used to write about, his name is Matt with one T, just bought the Phoenix Suns. So I've been thinking about names with only one consonant. So there's some random knowledge for you. Aukerman was the assistant special teams coach under Malarkey, and when Vrabel came in, he made him the special teams coordinator or coach. So there you go. So he was one of the holdovers from the previous staff, like Arthur Smith as well, by the way.
And congratulations to Craig Aukerman and the staff. They were on the genuine Titan 3 weeks ago.
So they were.
Who knows what that could mean, according
to
Jared Stillman.
They've been fired 98 times by Jared Stillman.
We'll have more on the Titans coming up next. What is at stake for Malik Willis? We heard Paul Kuharsky's thoughts on that earlier this hour. I want to get Joe and Chase's takes on that coming up next. What do we think is on the line for Malik Willis if he starts these next three games for the Tennessee Titans? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.